إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. We resume our classes in the book Kitab Al-Kabair, the book with regards to the major sins, by the great Imam Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullahu ta'ala. In our previous class we had began reading the chapter the author he mentioned Babu Izdira'i and Ni'mah wal istighfafi bi hurumatillah. Babu Izdira' and Ni'mah, the chapter with regards to belittling the blessings and abusing the blessings and showing no concern for the blessings and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and taking the sacred rights of Allah lightly, and taking the sacred rights of Allah lightly. What is istighfaf bi hurumatillah? We see in the text that we are studying that the author, he did not mention any ayat or any narrations under this particular tarjama or under this particular chapter heading. But the people of knowledge, they have spoken about these affairs. They have spoken about these affairs. And in our previous class, we had discussed the first portion of this chapter, Izdira'un Ni'mah. We have seen the dangers of that. The dangers of belittling the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not showing thanks for them or showing gratitude. And this occurs in a number of ways. And this is a foul way and a foul manner. And it's not befitting for a believer to belittle the bounties and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we had read in our previous class the famous narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said with regards to this affair, giving advice, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم فهو أجدر ألا تزدروا نعم الله نعم الله فهو أجدر ألا تزدروا نعم الله. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, look to those who are lower than you and do not look to those who are above you. Look to those who are lesser than you, meaning in wealth and in health and in prosperity and in every affair, and in all of the worldly affairs. Look to those who are lower than you, and do not look to those who are above you, because this is better for you and more rightful that you will not belittle the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is better for you and more rightful in this manner if you were to do this, and if you are to take this as a methodology in a way that you look and you approach life, this would be more beneficial and more rightful for you that you will not belittle the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever a person, he sees others who are lesser than him, lesser in their wealth and in their health and in their prosperity and in their safety and in their security and the goodness that they have from the favors of Allah, they will show thanks and they will realize the great blessings that they have. For example, a person who has a sickness and he breathes on a machine. There are individuals who are breathing on machines, or others that, akramakumullah, they're carrying bags with them on their sides. They're not able to use the restroom freely and the lights like this. So for these people, just to do one of these affairs, just to breathe freely without a machine, just to go to the restroom on one's own, akramakumullah, this is a great bounty and blessing for them. They would hope and love to do that, and they're not able to. So the fact that we look at these affairs, others, they have to have yani diagnosis, and they have to spend much time in the hospital, time after time, doing treatment, and their life's like this until their life has turned into a journey of hospital visits back and forth for themselves or for their loved ones, and their life's like this. So when a believer, he sees those who are lesser than him, when he sees those who are lesser than him, then he will realize the great bounty that he has, and the great favor that he has, and the great blessing that he has. But if he starts to look and to ponder over those who are more wealthy than him, or more famous than him, or more have more prosperity than him, and the likes like this, then he will start to forget the blessings that he has. And he will have many blessings and much goodness, and he will forget about them. He will literally forget about them as if he has nothing. And sometimes one of them will even say, he has nothing. I have nothing. There is nothing here. There's nothing for me. And he's in a great bounty and blessing just in his health, just in his well-being, in his mind, and in his body. And then likewise, the one who has a home, the one who has the AC in his house, and it's cool whenever he goes there, and it's warm in the winter, and there's a roof over the head, and the bills are paid, and he's not struggling to pay his bills. His bills are paid every month on time. This is a great blessing and a bounty. Many people, they're struggling just to pay their rent. Other people, they're going in debt from month to month just to pay their rent, or just to pay the electricity bill, or the water bill is high, and they have to take a loan to pay that. And the life's like this, and from month to month, in this manner they're living, they're struggling just to get by. So somebody who monthly, his bills are met, and his finances are paid, and everything is set in order, and he's coming and going and taking care of his business and going throughout the day, searching for his livelihood. And at the end of the day, he comes home safe and secure, and he lays his head on a pillow and in a bed, and the life's like this, and even greater if he has a wife to participate with him and to share in that joy with him, and even greater if he has children, likewise, so on and so forth, who help him and aid him. These are our bounties and blessings. There are a number of people in this society outside those doors. They're living on the street in tents. Others, they have taken a park bench or a bus bench as a home, literally. Literally, we have seen them. We see them in these neighborhoods. You drive down the street. One time I'm driving with some of the youth and we look and we see people living in a tent. We say, SubhanAllah. A little bit further, we see a man, he's living on a bench, even worse than them. The ones who were living in the tent, no doubt this is a foul way. Worse than that, a little further down the road, in the same moment, there's one, he's living on a bench. He doesn't even have a tent. He doesn't even have a tent. And here I am taking these youth to their home, to their family, to their house that is big and that's safe and has a number of rooms and the likes like this. So to realize these affairs and to recognize this and to know that the favor is from Allah and the blessing is from Allah, this is incumbent and obligatory. And one, he will realize that in reality he has a lot of good. He has a lot of good. Even if a person, he was sick, if he looked to those who are more sick than him, in a worse condition than him, he will realize that in reality he has much good. He has much good and much favor and much blessing and much bounty. Or someone whom maybe he himself is struggling. Maybe he's from those who are struggling from month to month and their life's like this. But he has a home. He's struggling to pay that bill, but he has the house and it's there for him. Alhamdulillah. And he leaves and he comes home and he has a key and he gets in and he leaves whenever he wants. And their life's like this. Then if he were to look at those on the street, and to those who have nothing in this society, never mind in the Islamic lands, how they've been devastated, and the Muslims, truly the Muslims from Ahl Sunnah and the like, some of them are living in tents and living in fields, and some of them are eating grass and the likes like this. So the one who looks at them in this manner and then looks at himself, he will be like, Allahu Akbar, I have so many blessings. Alhamdulillah, I have so many favors. Alhamdulillah, Allah, he did not try me with the likes of that. So he will realize this, and he will see this, and it will be a favor for him, and a means for him to show thanks. Likewise, with regards to the vehicles and the likes, a person, he has a vehicle, and he gets in and it starts the first time, and it takes him anywhere he needs to go, to the masjid, and to the home, and to the market, and to the places that he needs, to his occupation, and back and forth, and the likes like this, and it works the first time whenever he starts it. Alhamdulillah. And then even if it has AC and it has a heater likewise, and then maybe some of them even have leather seats and the seats become heated, or some of them even have cameras where you can see whenever you back up, so on and so forth. All these are great bounties and favors. Imagine the one who's riding a bike. I remember whenever I was in Egypt, a number of times you would find people riding bikes and they're carrying they're carrying major things on their heads, like big giant wood and plywood full of bread, pieces of bread, and he's riding a bike, an old bike at that, through the street, taking care of his business with. And you just imagine to stand with a big giant wood, like 4x6 pieces of wood on your head, then pile up bread on top of that, and then walk with that. He's not doing none of that. He's riding a bike in the streets of Egypt. this is sa'uba fawqa sa'uba. This is a hardness on top of hardness. But he's alive and he's doing this and he's getting his money and he's taking care of his family. So this is what he's facing. So alhamdulillah, we're not facing that. Others, they will sit there, they can't even move. Maybe they don't have a leg. They will be sitting there, and the only thing they would do, they would heat up water on the side and sell tea for a junay. All day long, selling tea for a junay, hoping to get some money to buy some bread. This is the life that they live. And this is the life that some of the people live, and they're Muslims. So the point is that to realize that there are others who are lower than us in these worldly affairs, and then to show thanks, alhamdulillah, that we're not tried with that. Alhamdulillah, they were not tested with that. So then whenever he sees life like this, he will realize the great blessings that he has and the favors that he has, and he will show thanks. Likewise, from the belittlement of the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal is to use his favors and his disobedience. Is to use his favors and his blessings and his disobedience. The wealth is such a great blessing. And many people, the more wealth they get, the more arrogant they become, and further it drives them into transgression and into sin. And this is a foul way. The wealth is a favor from Allah. It is a blessing from Allah. It is a bounty from Allah. So a believer, he should show thanks and use that in the avenues of goodness. Use that to spend on himself and that which is halal. To spend on himself and his family and that which is good. And likewise to help the believers if he can. But at least to not spend that wealth in the avenues of sin and evil and transgression. And the likes like this is not being thankful. Likewise, the blessings of the eyes and the blessings of the ears and the blessings of the hand and the wealth and the mind. Some people are very bright and very quick and very clever, and they use their cleverness to deceive the people and to trick them and to get over on them. And many times they already have money and they have wealth. They just have become conniving in this manner like this. So they use this favor of being bright to deceive others and to trick them for their best advantage. And this is a foul way, especially if those others, they are already themselves weak. If they are already themselves weak, and the likes like this, like taking advantage of women and so on and so forth, and taking advantage of children or taking advantage of orphans. But yeah, billah, all of these are foul ways. Or taking advantage of the handicapped or those who are innocent and they trust the people and the likes like this, and then taking advantage of them and using them and deceiving them and their wealth and in their status or rank and the likes like this. All of this is a foul way. All of this is a foul way. A believer, he has to strive to be truthful in his faith and trustworthy with his shahada and trustworthy in his statement and his deeds and his manners, and show thanks to Allah for his blessings, subhanahu wa ta'ala, first by confessing that they are from him and no one else. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. That all of the favors and blessings, they're from Allah alone. He is the one who provides that. It's from his favor and his grace, not something that we deserve. Not something that we deserve. And then likewise, to praise him for that and to thank him and to love him for that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, to love him for those great bounties and blessings. يَتَوَدَّدُ إِلَيْنَا بِهَذِهِ النِّعْمِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he's doing actions of kindness so that we will love him by giving us bounties and blessings, doing actions of kindness so that we will obey him and that we will strive to draw near to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore we should show thanks, and this means to use those blessings in that which is allowed and permissible. And that which is allowed and permissible, and to avoid using them in that which is impermissible. And this is the jihad, and this is the test, and this is the imtihan. And this is the reason and the purpose for the creation, to try us with these bounties and favors, to try us with our eyes and our ears and with our heart, and what we will do with our life and the likes like this. And then we will return to Allah Azza wa Jal, and He will take us to account. So to remember these affairs, and to not be from those who belittle or degrade the favors and the bounties and the blessings of Allah. So we look to those who are lower than us. As for with regards to the affairs of the religion, The people of knowledge, they said to look to those who are better than you, to look to those who are more pious or more righteous or stronger and more steadfast, those who are more knowledgeable and those who have better manners and conduct, in order to take them as role models. So in the affairs of the worldly life, you look to those who are lower than you, so that you do not belittle the bounties and the favors and blessings that you have. And with regards to the affairs of the religion and the hereafter, you look to those who are higher and greater, so that you can follow them and that you can take them as role models, and you can try to catch up with them and the likes like this. So this is yani a benefit with regards to this affair. Bab was dirai and ni'ma, the chapter with regards to belittling the blessings. What is istighfaf bi hurumatillah? What is istighfaf bi hurumatillah? And also taking lightly the sacred rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. The sacred rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. This part here, we did not discuss this issue here. Al istighfaf bi hurumatillah, bi hurumatillah. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's an obligation to have ta'zim, to have any ta'zim hurumatillah, that the sacred rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which Allah has deemed and decreed to be sacred, that which He has deemed and decreed to be sacred, from the sacred rights of Islam, and likewise from the sacred rights of the actions of obedience, and also from the things that Allah has declared to be impermissible. All of these affairs, they have a hurmah. All of these affairs, they have a hurmah. There's a sacredness with regards to this. So those sacred rights, with regards to the sacred rights of Islam, they must be honored and respected. They must be honored and respected and kept in high regard. And kept in high regard. Everything that's related to the religion, everything that's related to the deen of Allah, everything that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with, it must be honored and respected. It must be considered high and lofty. It must be magnified. It must be revered. It must be venerated. It must be kept in high regard. It must be something that is amazing and great in the heart of a believer. It should never be anything light. Nothing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with is light or little. All of it is guidance from the Lord of the worlds. All of it is guidance from the Lord of the worlds. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, he heard the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqeela, that indeed we are going to cast upon you, meaning reveal to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a heavy statement, a heavy speech, meaning this Quran, the revelation. So Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, he understood from that, and he said, Laysa fi dini shayun khafif, that there is nothing that is in the religion that is light. There is nothing in the religion that is light. Nothing whatsoever. Raising the pants above the ankle is something the Prophet, he was upon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise is something major, and he mentioned that there's a threat of the fire for the one who opposes that. So this is not something light. To let the beard grow, whether the beard grows or not, this is not in the hands of a believer, not in the hands of a man. But what is incumbent upon him is to leave it. To leave it to grow as Allah decrees. This is not something that's considered light. This is not something that is considered light. Taking the enemies of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as role models and imitating them in their clothing and their dress and their manners and in their religious ceremonies and the likes like this. This is something major and not something light. This is something major and not something light. Having a Christmas tree in the home of a Muslim is a calamity. Musiba azima inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. These affairs are not something light. These affairs are not something right, not something light. So the hurumat of Allah Azza wa Jal, they must be honored. They must be respected. They must be venerated. This is an obligation. This is an obligation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned with regards to this, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. And that is that those who magnify and venerate, those who honor and respect the hurumat, the sacred rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then it is better for him with his Lord. Then it is better for him with his Lord. The people of knowledge have mentioned a number of different interpretations of the hurumat of Allah. And this is the chapter here is with regards to al-istighfaf. Al-istighfaf bi hurumatillah. Al-istighfaf is a masdar from istighfa, yastighfu, istighfa istighfafan, istighfafan. Here we have this verb khaffa yakhiffu. It's on the scale of istaf'ala. From the meanings of the scale of istaf'ala, wujudu sifa. Wujudu sifa. any to see an attribute, or to take an attribute, or just and the likes like this. For example, you would say if a person thought something was small, he would say استصغرته. Any وجدته صغيرا أو استكبرته أو استعظمته وجدته كبيرا أو وجدته عظيما. Like this, يعني this. Oh, if you found something to be strange, you would say استغربته. أي وجدته غريبا. And the likes like that. This is from the meaning of that scale, استفعل. So here we have استخفة. يعني وجدته خفيفا. خفيفا. And the axe is استثقلته. وجدته ثقيلا. But here is to consider it light. To take it as something that is light and insignificant. That's the meaning of al-istighfaf. Al-istighfaf is to take something lightly and to consider it to be insignificant. So here, what is it about? Istighfaf, hurumatillah. Hurumatillah. So the people of knowledge, they have mentioned the hurumat of Allah specifically in this verse has been interpreted to mean a number of meanings. ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. So some of the people of knowledge, they mention حُرُمَاتُ اللَّهِ هَا هُنَا مَعَاصِيهِ وَمَا نَهَا عَنْهُ وَمَا نَهَا عَنْهُ وَتَعْظِيمُهَا تَرْكُ مُلَابَسَتِهَا. So some of the people of knowledge, they mention what is intended by the حُرُمَات of Allah is that, or in this particular verse, is his the actions of disobedience, disobeying him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything that he has prohibited, and everything that he has prohibited. وَتَعْظِيمُهَا, honoring them and venerating them and magnifying them, is to not get involved with them whatsoever. It should not be involved with them whatsoever, to avoid the prohibitions entirely. This is what is incumbent, and this is the manner of honoring and respecting them and holding them in high regards. Any of the prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jal. So according to this interpretation, meaning that in the heart of a believer, it's a major affair to disobey Allah. It's a major affair to disobey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not something light. And in his heart, when he thought about that, whether it's for himself or from others, whether it's from himself, and he first and foremost even more, but even from others, that this is something that is major, that Allah will be disobeyed, that Allah will be blatantly disobeyed in the likes like this, or that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be disobeyed. This affair here, it must be major in the heart of a believer, until he would seek refuge with Allah from ever falling into that. Until he would seek refuge with Allah from ever falling into that. And he would hope to avoid that. Likewise, others have said, مَا لَا يَحِلُّ إِنْتِهَاكُهُ. And he has similar meaning. That which is not permissible to perpetrate. Any of the حُرُمَات of Allah, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ حُرُمَاتِ اللَّهِ يَنِي مَا لَا يَحِلُّ إِنْتِهَاكُهُ. That which is not permissible to commit or perpetrate. Again, referring to the prohibitions. Referring to the prohibitions. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, الْحُرْمَ مَا وَجَبَ الْقِيَامُ بِهِ وَحَرُمَ التَّفْرِيطُ فِيهِ. That al-hurma, then either hurumat is the plural of hurma. So something that is considered a hurma, ma wajib al-qiyamu bihi wa harumat tafritu fihi. Something that it's an obligation to establish it, and something that is impermissible and forbidden to be negligent with regards to. And this is a good interpretation of this word, al-hurma. Al-hurma, anything that is obligatory to establish the tawheed of Allah, the correct creed and belief in Allah, the salat, the obligatory prayer, the obligatory prayer, the obligatory charity, yani being kind to the parents, obeying the parents in that which is good, lowering the gaze, all of these affairs that we have been commanded to establish, and that we have been prohibited to be negligent with regards to, this is called al-hurma. This is something that has hurma, has a sacredness to it. It has a sacredness to it. So some others, they have said, وَهَاهُنَا الْمَنَاسِكُ وَالْمَنَاسِكُ وَمَشَاعِرِ الْحَجِّ زَمَانٍ وَمَكَانٍ. Others have said, هَاهُنَا, in this verse here, الْمَنَاسِكُ الْمَنَاسِكُ وَمَشَاعِرِ الْحَجِّ زَمَانٍ وَمَكَانٍ. That what is intended from the hurumat of Allah in this verse are the manasik. We took this word yesterday. Al-manasik, what does that mean? We took this word yesterday in عمدت الأحكام. من نسك نسكنا. العبادة الطاعات والعبادة وكل ما يتقرب به إلى الله عز وجل. النسك is a طاعة والعبادة وكل ما يتقرب به إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. and has another specific meaning likewise of slaughtering. And that is something sacred likewise. Slaughtering for the sacred rites. For the sacred rites of the hadi or the udhiyah. Or for the aqiqah and the likes like this. Now, no doubt this is from the sacred rites of Al-Islam. So likewise from that same meaning, the manasik of hajj. The time and the places. All of these are considered sacred. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah in his book, Madarij al-Salikin, and he has a chapter with regards to ta'zim hurumatillah. After mentioning these different statements, he said, وَالصَّوَابُ أَنَّ الْحُرُمَاتِ تَعُمُّ هَذَا كُلُّهُ. What is correct is that these hurumat, the sacred rites of Allah Azza wa Jal, it includes all of that. So everything from the sacred rites of Islam and the obligations and that which is recommended, and likewise the prohibition and that which is forbidden, and the likes like this, all of this is from the hurumat of Allah. Everything that one must establish and perform, and likewise everything that one must avoid and stay away from, all of that is included. It must be magnified, it must be revered, it must be respected, it must be held high in the heart of a believer. All of these affairs, the commandments and the prohibitions, all of this must be kept in high regard. Then he said, rahimahullah, وَهِيَ جَمْعُ حُرْمَةٍ وَهُوَ مَا يَجِبُ احْتِرَامُهُ وَحِفْظُهُ وَالْحُقُوقُ وَالْأَشْخَاصُ وَحِفْظُهُ مِنَ الْحُقُوقِ وَالْأَشْخَاصِ وَالْأَزْمِينَةِ وَالْأَمَاكِنِ. So he says that the حُرُمَات, this is the plural of حُرْمَةٍ, and it is everything that must be respected, it must be honored, it must be preserved and protected from the rights, and the rights of the people, and the rights of the places and the times. And if there are certain the people that have rights, sacred rights that Allah has given them. Even the disbelievers have rights upon a believer that he cannot violate. Those who we have contracts with, those who have covenants with, those who are our neighbors, those who are family members, so on and so forth. Even if he's a disbeliever, there's a hurmah there. He has a right, a sacred right that one cannot violate. That a person he has to honor and respect. He has to honor and respect that he will not violate the rights of his neighbor. He will not violate the rights of his mother. He will not violate the rights of his father. He will not violate the rights of his wife, or she will not violate the rights of her husband, or the children. And the children likewise with regards to the parents and the co-workers in the job. There's a job. If you have taken on a particular occupation and you have agreed to do a particular service, and you have agreed to come at a particular time for a particular amount of money, and then you neglect that, you come late whenever you like, or you leave early and you sneak out, and the likes like this, and you're taking that money, you're taking that check, this is violating that right. A believer, he can't say, well, this is a disbelieving company, and use this as an excuse. This is not an excuse. Al-Islam does not allow oppression in any form. So there are rights that all must be observed. And this is from establishing the religion and being upright truthfully, that a person, he will honor and he will respect these affairs, and he will protect them and maintain them, the rights of the people, all of them, whoever they are. And no doubt the rights of the people, they vary. Some of them have greater rights than others, but all of them, they have rights. So this is something that must be observed for the sake of Allah. And this is from ta'zim hurumatillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the times and the places like Ramadan, the special times like Ramadan. And the time of Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, is not like the other months. There's a great hurma in the daytime specifically of Ramadan that must be observed, it must be respected, it must be honored, it must be kept sacred and high in the heart of a believer. Likewise, the night times as well, they're sacred as well. They're not like the other nights, especially the last 10 nights. There's a sacredness about those nights. So a believer, if he was negligent in the nights before, he would strive to not be negligent in the last 10 nights, because he has ta'lim of the hurumat of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And from that, establishing any of the worship in those last 10 nights. Likewise, the days of Eid and the celebrations of Eid. And likewise, the day of Jumu'ah and the celebration of Jumu'ah. Some people, they have no respect and no concern for the hurumat of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And they'll come to the Jumu'ah and they turn into cameramen in the middle of the khutbah. And they turn into cameramen in the middle of the khutbah, breaking out their cameras and videoing and like this, and zooming in and zooming out and taking pictures, and not even being concerned with the khutbah, wa riyadu billah, Others, they'll even use their WhatsApp. And some of them, they'll bring music in their pocket. And others, they're bringing chimes and dings, even in the middle of the prayers. This is a great problem in not showing concern nor any respect for the hurmat of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not showing any concern or any respect for the hurmat of Allah Azza wa Jal. What is that statement? Kathratul misas, tudhibu al-ihsas. Kathratul misas, tudhibu al-ihsas. Any something that happens a lot, then how do you say that in English? Yeah, there's a term for it though in English. Like I forget what it is. The meaning, the translation is that, yani, is something that it occurs a lot. It takes away the senses. And there's even a wording in English. They say the same thing. Desensitized, becoming desensitized. Whenever somebody he sees evil over and over and over, he becomes accustomed to it and used to it and acts like it's nothing and it's normal now. Like it's not normal now. Desensitized, becoming desensitized. By dealing with something and seeing something so many times, a person maybe become desensitized if he's not careful. So these affairs are not light. Bringing music in the masjid is not light. Bringing music outside of the masjid is not light. Even more great and heavy in the masjid, disturbing the people in the prayer is not light. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the one who tries to walk in front of you while you're praying and he continues after you try to stop him, then he's a shaitan. That's for the one who physically walks in front of you. How about for the one who comes between, like, he comes between you and the place of your prostration? What about the one who comes between you and your khushu', between you and your heart, with all these different sounds, and in the middle of the prayer? And this is something that is, it's not befitting. It's not light. It's not light. So we shouldn't consider it to be light, even if some of the people, they consider it to be light. Or playing video games in the masjid, sitting in the masjid watching YouTube. This is not something light. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Playing video games in the masjid. This is not something light. And it gets worse with the type of video game. Some of the video games have magic spells and magic potions and the likes like this. Other, they have murder. It's not light. It's not light. This is something that has to be really recollected upon and remembered, that this is something that's major. The special and the sacred times and the special and the sacred places, and the first 10 days of the Hijjah, the day of Arafah, the days of Eid, and the likes like this, the Haram, the Haramain, Mecca and Medina, the Muzdalifah and Arafah, all of these places, they're sacred. Al-Quds, Masjid Al-Aqsa, this is a place that is sacred, but yadu billah, that a believer would consider to be something light or insignificant or have no care or concern for it. Rather, he would love it. He will love it and he will honor it and he will magnify it and he will respect it and he will do whatever he could to not fall into belittling those affairs or taking these issues lightly. So Ibn Qayyim, he says, فَتَعْظِيمُهَا فَتَعْظِيمُهَا تَوْفِيَتُهَا حَقَّهَا وَحِفْظَهَا عَنِ الْإِضَاعَةِ. So to magnify these sacred rites and places and times and the rights of these people and the likes like this, this is to fulfill those rights, to fulfill those rights and to preserve them and to keep them safe from being neglected. And to keep them safe from being neglected. So this is something that the believers, they must be aware of. To not take the sacred rights of Al-Islam lightly. To not take the sacred rights of Al-Islam lightly. So again, the name of this book is Al-Kaba'ir. So everything that we have discussed previously, this is all from the major sins. This is all from the major sins. To have no concern for this affair. Sometimes a person, maybe he forgets his phone and then it rings or disturbs the people in the prayer. And no doubt people slip. But something that becomes a daily affair, this is a sign that they're taking it lightly. There's a sign that they're taking it lightly. Or for example, the fact that there's music there. There's music. Somebody told him that the music is haram. And then he just leaves the ringtone on music like this and doesn't even care. This is a sign he's taking this affair lightly. This is a sign he's taking this affair lightly. And so there are signs that a person, he takes them lightly, meaning he's not preserving them and protecting them from being neglected. And he himself is falling into neglecting these affairs. Just falling into neglecting these affairs. So this is something, again, that's a major sin. Taking the sacred rights of Al-Islam lightly. And the hurumat of Allah Azza wa Jalla, istighfafu biha, wa liyadu billah. Yani, for example, how light is it to go like that? Everybody has a phone. Almost all phones are the same. All you have to do. It's barely even anything just to go like this and put it on silent. It's just a little button. Just put it on silent. And then you don't have to worry about it no more. You understand that? That's so easy. So somebody who cannot even, we just want to put it on silent. We're going to come in the masjid. We don't want to serve anybody. We don't want to see on the day of resurrection. Then we're standing in prayer and our phone is disturbing people. That our phone is disturbing people. That our phone is disturbing and taking the attention away from the devotion to Allah Azza wa Jal because of our phone. Like that. So, but all the person has to do is go like that. Just push the button down like that. It's very easy. Almost all the phones are the same. Almost all the phones are the same. And it's best to leave it like that all the time, in my opinion. In my opinion. But, I mean, it's very easy. So the fact that that's very easy and then somebody would not do it, this is a sign. Yani that there's no concern and there's no care. This is a sign that there's no concern and no care. So we have to work together on that. We have to work together on that. Yani honoring the masajid, honoring the salawat, especially the obligatory salat, especially the congregational salat, honoring the Eid, honoring the sacred rites of Al-Islam. May Allah give it success. So the author, he says, Babu Bughdhi As-Salihin. The chapter with regards to detesting the righteous. The chapter with regards to detesting the righteous, yani hating them and disliking them. Al-Bughdhu, yani Al-Kurh. Maybe someone would say Kurhun Shadid, like he would to despise something, to dislike them, and to hate them, and the likes like this. So this chapter here is with regards to despising the righteous, and hating the righteous, and disliking the righteous, the people who are known for As-Salah, As-Salihun. As-Salihun, they're the people who, what is apparent from them and what is known from them is that they're people who establish those sacred rites and they're people who honor and respect the hurumat of Allah Azza wa Jal. This one is considered Salih, the one who establishes the commandments and what is apparent from him outwardly. He establishes the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and he performs them any day in and day out and he avoids the prohibitions. He's not known to be from those who are perpetrating and committing sins. We all have sins. But it's a difference between the person who's striving and making effort and the one who doesn't even care or even have any concern. So the one who's striving, then his sins are fewer and lesser and lighter. And if he fell into something major, he'll hasten to repent. As for somebody who does not even care, he will blatantly sin in front of everyone. Even some of them will broadcast their own sin on Facebook and on WhatsApp and on Twitter and the likes like this. And so the righteous one, the one who's righteous, is the one who strives against his soul to fulfill the obligations and to stay away from the prohibitions. This person here, he's considered salih. He's considered righteous. The one who is striving to fulfill the obligations daily, every day and every night, and to avoid the prohibitions. This one, he's considered salih. And the salihun, darajat, there are levels and ranks. Some of them are higher than others. But all of them, they share in that characteristic. And that is a great trait of salah, piety and righteousness and taqwa and iman and Islam. This is something that is major. So to dislike them is a major sin. Is a major sin. The time is not proper to begin the chapter. Inshallah, we can review. We can review briefly. We start with easy questions, inshallah. Easy review. What's the title of the book? Al-Kabair. What is the... Al-Kabair, this is a plural. What is the singular version of that? Al-Kabiratu. Al-Kabairu wal-Kabiratu. Al-Kabira. What is a Kabira? A major sin. What's the definition? Ma ta'rif al-Kabira. What's the definition of a major sin? You have to repent from all sins, even minor sins.
Al-Kabira huya kulli ma
Every sin that has come with a threat of anger or punishment in the hereafter or the threat of the hellfire or a curse for the one who performs it or this mention of wail for this one like this. Or the anger of Allah will be upon them, or also what else? The one, huh? There's a head in this life, ahsant, there's a legal punishment in this life for it. All of these are signs that this issue here is a major sin. We remember the author, he began in the beginning mentioning a number of athar from the Salaf with regards to the definition. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned al-kabair, kullu dhanbin khatamahu Allahu binar, aw la'na, aw ghadab, aw adhab. That a major sin is every sin that Allah had mentioned about it, that it has the threat for the fire, or a curse, or his anger, or a punishment, or a punishment. So this is the best definition, and Allah knows best. Any sin that's mentioned along with it, the threat of the fire, or the person he will be in the fire, or that there's a punishment for it in the hereafter, a specific type of punishment for it in the hereafter, or in this life, or the threat of a punishment in the grave, for example, likewise, and there's a punishment for it, or there is a legal punishment, like from the hudud and the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal that's established in this life, or the one who does it is cursed, or the anger of Allah is upon so-and-so, or it's mentioned along with it, wayil, and the likes like this. All of these here, these are signs and indications that sin is major. So again, for example, the issue of the clothing of the man. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ma tahta al-ka'bayni fa fi an-nar." That which is lower below the ankles, any from the male garment, lower garment, then it's in the fire. It's in the fire. So this is an indication that's a major sin. Al-isbal is a major sin. Also, if Allah, he said, he does not love such and such. Likewise, like also about isbal, Allah, the Messenger of Allah, he mentioned to one of his companions, he said, "Ya Fulan," and I forgot his name right now, "La tusbil, fa inna Allah la yuhibbul musbilin." Oh, so and so, do not lower your garment below your ankles, because verily Allah, he does not love those who lower their garments below their ankle. So this is a sign here. This is a sign here that it's a major sin. So a believer, he's tested in all affairs. This is from the hurumat of Allah Azza wa Jal. We are tested in our affairs. We can't do whatever we like in this life. We cannot do whatever we like in this life. Whether there's limits and there's restrictions that we have. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ad-dunya jannatul kafir wa sijnu al-mu'min wa al-akhirah sijnu al-kafir wa jannatul mu'min." That this life is the prison. It's the prison for a believer, and it's the paradise for a disbeliever. It's a prison before the believer, because there's limits and restrictions. You can't do whatever you like. You can't look at whatever you want to look at. You can't touch whatever you want to touch. You can't see whatever you want to see. You can't have whatever you want to have. Whether there's limits. There's limits. You can only have whatever Allah allows. You can only look at whatever Allah permits. You can only listen to whatever Allah likes. Like this. This is the test in this life. So the sins are different types. From them, the major sin. The major sin is the one that's mentioned like this. Who can remind us again? Somebody else. What is a major sin? How do we know? If we're reading the book of Allah, or the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a sin is mentioned, how will we be able to determine if it's a major sin? If there's a punishment for it. Huh?
In this life or in the hereafter.
If there's a legal punishment for it in this life, or a punishment in the grave or in the hereafter. Also, the curse. La'an Allahu, the one who did this. La'an Allahu sharib al-khamr. Wasaqihi, wahamilahu, the one who carries alcohol. The one who carries out, mean the one who distributes that. He carries that in his vehicle. Any to sell it or to drop it off, or whatever the case may be, he's carrying it along with him. This one is, there's a curse for that person. So what does that mean? Carrying alcohol on one's person or in his vehicle is a major sin. A major sin. What do major sins do to iman? Decrease it. And how? In a major way. Yani the major sins, they weaken the deen in a major way. They weaken the faith in a major way. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the sins, barid al-kufr. They're the pathway to disbelief, because they weaken the faith. And like we said before, people become accustomed to it. If one is not careful, pretty soon it'll be like nothing. and it'll be nothing to him, and he will start to leave off things that are even greater, or perpetrate things that are even more severe. And the likes like this, they lead him to disbelief and to falling in to evil and sin and transgression. لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Do not follow the footsteps of the devil. I remember the people of Nanas, they mentioned a beautiful example of the sins. And it's the person, the example of the one who has the white thawb on. Anybody remember that example? The one who has a white thawb on, whenever he leaves his home, and he's looking nice, and his thawb is clean, and the likes like this. And whenever he leaves his home, if it's muddy outside or dirty, he's very conscious not to get any dirt on him. And if he sees puddles of mud, he'll avoid them and go around them, and he'll lift up his thawb, and he will take precaution not to get his thawb dirty. But if something happens, somebody drives by and splashes on him, and time after time, maybe one drop, two drops, he'll still be conscious. But pretty soon after the thawb gets any filthy, he doesn't care anymore, and he'll just walk right through the mud. This is the example of the one who gets accustomed to sins. If one sin comes, and maybe he repents and he feels bad, and then another comes, and pretty soon he just delves in head first into that which is impermissible, but yeah, billah. So this is something to be aware of. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.